too late. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, right now.
That was Marvin Gaye and his famous song, What's Going On, I believe from his album titled What's Going On. Thought it'd be a good song to start for both starting out this new... you're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. And of course, you can always stream us online at weft.org. My name is Ben. This is the program. Where we are at is January 5th, 2026. This is the first show of the year. I'm glad to be here live in the studio with here at WEF Stations, and looking forward to doing another year of programming. It's going to be a lot of things to cover, issues, events, stuff to talk about. You know, with the midterms and elections, and I'm sure I've already had a few candidates come and talk about, I believe, the Illinois primary. I believe that is on March 20, I believe it's on St. Patrick's Day, if I'm mistaken. I'll just do that a little. March 17th. 2020, well, March 17th, so still got a few months, a little over 2 months, but that will be something we will be talking about this year, among a number of other things. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker, do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm just going to... again, you could always listen to WEFT not only on our website, WEFT.org, but on our app, which is on Apple Play Store. I believe you just go to if you just type in or search for WEFT on Apple Store or Google Play Store, it should be, you should be able to find it there and listen to our shows. All of our shows are archived, and you can also leave feedback, which we would greatly appreciate, as we're always trying to see how we can change up things and do what we can do, because we are a volunteer run radio station here. You know, we all do this because we care about our, you know, community radio, and you know, we're gonna keep going. Let's see. If you would like to make a donation, there's a payment of financial support. We don't have much in terms of public service announcement that I can see in front of me, but I can read. So by, well, we do have I can play some pre-recorded program and public service announcements here for you.
Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Elliott Counseling Group, who offers compassionate mental health care to individuals of all ages. Elliott Counseling Group serves Central Illinois with in-person and online sessions. More information is available at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. That's ELLIOTT Counseling Group, no punctuation or spaces.com, or by phone at 217-398-9066.
Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. Whether you need signs for an event, thousands of full-color flyers, or personalized promotional items, Minuteman Press can make it happen in time and on budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Minuteman Press may be reached online at cuprinting.com, by calling 217-355-0500, or in person at their new location in the Shops of Knollwood Shopping Center at 2131 South Neal Street.
We'll give a shout, let you know about Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, the LIHEAP office. This is on their website, ccrpc.org, the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program office at Rantoul Business Center is closing on January 16th. The office location in Rantoul for LIHEAP appointments will close on Friday, January 16th, starting on January 26th, appointments for Rantoul area residents will move to the Community Center Service of Northern Champaign County at 520 East Wabash Avenue in Rantoul. And just to let you know, Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, they have a number of services like low income home energy assistance program, and the requirements that you need to apply for that are on the website ccrpc.org. Just click on LIHEAP program. They also have a number of services. They have may have some jobs available too. Right now looking at 39 seeing 39 jobs that vary from teaching to case manage, working at a housing being a case manager and energy, a number of jobs if you are interested, there looks like 39 jobs again, Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, if you are looking for employment and if that's something in your area or experience. CCRPC.org is the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission website, and they have a number of services and programs, human services, transportation planning, homeless services, senior services, transportation assistance, youth assessment center, number of great programs and services that are very worthy of knowing. I will just go into my I went to a Venezuela a rally in response to what the arrest of the Venezuelan president Maduro, and there's been numbers of rallies all over the country, and one of them was right here in Champaign at West Side Park on this past Saturday. So I'm just going to play the number of public speakers. One of them was Dylan Blaha, who is a candidate for Illinois Congressional District 13. I had him on my show a little over a month ago, but this is that rally. I believe it was set up the rally was organized by the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and not necessarily represent those of WEFT, Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. So this is that rally.
The U.S. government carried out illegal bombing across Venezuela, kidnapping President Maduro and his wife. In less than 12 hours, nearly 100 protests were organized across the entire country. Meanwhile, in Venezuela, people are pouring into the streets to demand the return
of their president. It's great to see so many people out here in Champaign and across the country on such short notice. This war drive is nothing new. For decades, mainstream Democrats and Republicans alike have tried and failed to topple the Venezuelan government with coup attempts, devastating sanctions, and terrorism, all to punish them for the simple crime of independence, independence from empire, control over their own resources, nationalizing their oil, for their uncompromising solidarity with Palestine, with Cuba, and with the liberation of all oppressed peoples around the world. Trump thinks he can use a war abroad to crack down on his detractors at home. He hopes that bipartisan support for this war in Congress will keep his failing government afloat. The ruling class wants you to think that Maduro is our enemy, a drug trafficker, a terrorist. They want us to fear Venezuela, its military, and its people. But let's be clear, brothers and sisters. Do you think that the same people who lied to you about Iraq are telling you the truth now?
No!
Do you think that the same people who are lying to you about Palestine are telling you the truth now?
No!
Let's be clear. This is a war for resources. It's a war for conquest. It's a war for total control. This may even be a prelude to greater attacks across our hemisphere as the Trump administration tries to consolidate its control and reinforce the Monroe Doctrine, an old colonial strategy for dominating the entire New World. It's not about drugs. And it's laughable and offensive that they think we'll believe them. It's not Venezuela that's poisoning our people with fentanyl. It's the Sackler family. It's Big Pharma. It's all their lobbyists in Congress. That's right. Shame! Is Venezuela deporting our neighbors?
No!
I can't hear you. You gotta do a little better than that. Hell no! Is Venezuela kicking us off our health care?
No!
Is Venezuela responsible for any of the actual problems working class people are facing right here?
No!
Our enemies aren't in Venezuela. Our enemies are right here at home. Our enemies are on Wall Street, gleefully gambling away with the stolen wealth of all of your hard work.
That's right.
Our enemies are in the White House, throwing lavish parties as Americans starve. Our enemies are in Broadview, up in Chicago, kidnapping and deporting our immigrant neighbors. They want you to be confused. They want you to think that your enemies are other working people, either here or overseas. They want us divided and paralyzed so that they can drain the life and the wealth from our whole shared world. But I believe that they've underestimated us. The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
The people united will never be defeated.
Now, please give a very warm welcome to our first speaker, anti-war veteran and congressional candidate, Dylan Blaha.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Can everybody hear me in the back?
Yep.
All right, I'll speak up as loud as I can. My name is Dylan Blaha. I'm a pro-peace veteran, as he said. I'm actually still a captain in the National Guard, but everything I say today, I say as a private citizen. I've served in places like Afghanistan and Germany. I now stand against U.S. military imperialism around the world. I'm running for Congress to fight against American oligarchy, to stand up for the working class. That means taxing billionaires and passing policies like Medicare for All. It also means ending endless wars and not going to war with countries like Venezuela. This morning, Donald Trump launched an illegal assault on the sovereign nation of Venezuela.
Shame!
And kidnapped Nicolas Maduro, the Venezuelan president.
Shame!
He has, once again, shown his contempt for the U.S. Constitution, international law, and the rule of law. The president of the United States does not have the right to unilaterally take the country to war. And this afternoon, we stand together in solidarity, so many of us, against these acts of violence. This is not about drug trafficking. It's not about preserving democracy. Donald Trump isn't even trying to pretend that it is. This is about stealing Venezuelan oil and dominating Latin America. The U.S. does not have a right to run Venezuela, as Donald Trump suggested this morning. And we must call on Congress, every Democrat and Republican, to pass a War Powers Resolution to end illegal military operations and reassert its constitutional responsibilities, starting now. Trump's attacks on Venezuela make the United States less safe. This brazen violation of international law gives the green light to people like President Putin to take President Zelensky from Ukraine. Donald Trump is using the exact same logic that President Putin used when he invaded Ukraine. This is pure imperialism. It will and should be condemned by democratic leaders around the world. We're talking to you, Europe. Donald Trump campaigned to be president on an America First campaign. He claimed to be the peace president. But he was able to do it because members of the Democratic Party no longer push for peace either. They take donations from the same defense contractors, and we wonder why we're always going to war, decade after decade. 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Our healthcare system is collapsing. People cannot afford housing. And AI threatens millions and millions of jobs. It's time to put our American communities first.
Yes.
To provide Medicare for all. Yes. To raise wages. To expand Social Security. And to invest in our schools.
Yes.
And as the richest country on the planet, to become a leader in peace and diplomacy. I say no more war, no more war. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Not for war and occupation. Money for jobs and education.
Not for war and occupation.
Money for jobs and education.
Not for war and occupation.
Not for war and occupation.
Let's give it up one more time for Dylan Blaha. I'd like to welcome our next speaker, Leslie, an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Hello, it's amazing to see everybody out today. My name is Leslie, I organize with PSL. As both Dylan and George alluded to, we've been doing this for a long time, right? I was in high school when 9/11 happened, which meant I was in high school and college when the Iraq and Afghan wars were going on, and I was horrified the entire time. But I grew up in Kansas, which is a pretty conservative place. There wasn't a lot of protest culture on my campus. There wasn't a lot of protest culture in my hometown. So I sort of thought, well, maybe I'm alone in this. Maybe there aren't people who are against the war like I am. I think I was wrong, and I can see today that you are all standing here and ready to fight against endless war in this empire. Thinking back over politics, I wanted to tell you a brief story about my political life. I remember when Obama ran, I was so excited, right? He was running on ending the wars. He was running on closing Guantanamo. He was running on a peace platform, on a government where people could live affordably, where they had Medicare for all of these things. And it turned out to be empty lies, just like Trump's empty lies when he says that he's the peace president. But I did what I was supposed to do, right? Like, I sent my postcards, I sent my letters, I called my representatives. I've donated to nonprofits. I voted for politicians every single year, every single election, even when I hated what they stood for because they were the lesser of two evils. Again and again and again. And it wasn't until I came to grad school here and I joined my union when I saw what real people power was. I saw people in my union creating justice for each other. We were standing up against repression and retaliation, discrimination and harassment. We organized together to make sure that workers had the healthcare they desperately needed during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. We organized for better wages and better coverage so that we could keep teaching the students of this community. I saw my people making change. I saw workers around me making justice. When was the last time you saw our government make justice?
Never.
Never seen it. I'm not sure I have either. But what my union taught me is that workers are the people who do it for each other. Workers are the people with power. We are the people who are going to make justice happen every step of the way. I've been reading a history of general strikes, and it's wild. This is the stuff they don't teach you in high school and college because they don't want you to know that you have the power, right? Hundreds of times in cities big and small, New Orleans, Chicago, tiny towns you've never heard of, tiny coal mining towns, tiny railroad towns, people stood up for each other against starvation wages and against the indignity of living under capitalist rule. What does this have to do with the attack on Venezuela? Well, being in a union is what taught me what people power was. And studying history is what made me join the PSL, because I realized that only the people, you, me, our neighbors, our family, can make history together. We are the ones who have always fought for each other. We made the 8-hour workday happen. We ended child labor. We ended slavery through a massive general strike of enslaved peoples. We have done it again and again, and we will do it again today. We did it in Vietnam. That was a long, brutal stint of organizing for the justice and safety of the Vietnamese people and also the American people sent to war there. We have the power, but only if we realize and recognize that we have the power. So I am eager and I am confident. I see this as the beginning of a movement, not a one-time thing. And I am excited to be in the streets with you all in the coming weeks and months.
I'm going to play a little bit more public service announcements as I prepare some. So here are some more public service announcements here at WEFT.
Programming on WEFT is made possible in part by Common Ground Food Co-op. Located in Lincoln Square Mall, Common Ground is Champaign-Urbana's only community-owned grocery store, specializing in local and organic foods. All are welcome and no membership is required to shop at the Common Ground Food Co-op.
I'm going to try to get some programming here as I so I'm going to play some music while I get some other programming set up here. This is Bob Marley, I'm going to put it on. Show here. This is Breakthrough News Radio. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. This is Breakthrough News Radio.
Breakthrough.
Welcome to Breakthrough Radio.
the best of breakthrough news brought to you for 1 hour each week. I'm Sean Blackman. Now to our first story.
Coming to you after the dramatic events that have been taking place in the Western Hemisphere over the past 24 hours. In particular, the United States of America, under the leadership of President Donald Trump, has bombed the country of Venezuela, numerous bombings, and that was followed almost immediately after by a military incursion that led to the kidnapping of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores, who are were taken to the USS Iwo Jima, and I believe maybe as we are speaking are being flown to New York, where they have been indicted on multiple counts of allegations around narco trafficking and other related concerns. This, of course, has been widely condemned all around the world by world leaders, average everyday people, civil society, who have noted that the U.S. action is in total contravention to any form of international law, and as many have been raising in the United States, is perhaps outside of his actual powers as president under United States law. So this is being widely denounced as lawless in many different quarters and in many different ways. And protests have taken place all around the world in over 70 cities in the United States right now. People are protesting. And of course, roughly 60% of Americans, according to a recent YouGov Economist poll, are opposed to military action in Venezuela and the use of military action to pursue regime change there in the country. In the nation of Cuba, we have seen protests happening in the capital city of Havana, in Venezuela itself, where we will be going to you later in the show, live from the streets, from a reporter who is there reporting in Caracas. There have also been demonstrations reported and people coming to the street to defend their president as they deem it. And there's a lot of things happening, very fast-moving situation. What comes next is, of course, not clear. President Donald Trump says that the United States will run the country, so the implication being some sort of vice royalty that would run the country and some sort of occupation. Trump, of course, has made some allegations that the vice president of Venezuela and longtime socialist militant Delcy Rodriguez is cooperating with the United States. But we have actually seen contrary information to that, which we want to go to in just a second and get updated on. So there's not a lot of clarity about the exact immediate follow-on actions, but it does seem clear that the United States is 100% in the mindset of continuing to move forward and to try to completely control the politics and the government of Venezuela. And of course, we'll get into all of this more later, but very notably, Trump himself also said that Maria Corina Machado does not have the respect of the country and cannot actually be president. So that's an interesting wrinkle to add to all of this. But Zoe, I want to go to you now, because of course, so much has been raised by the Trump administration and others in their earlier press conferences that they are in some sort of cahoots, as it were, with the other elements of the Bolivarian government in Venezuela. But it seems like that perhaps that is not the case now that we have heard from some officials there on the ground in Caracas.
Yeah, Delcy Rodriguez gave a press conference about 20 minutes ago, or maybe earlier than that. And essentially, it was part of the Council of Defense of the Nation. And she addressed the people of Venezuela, the people of the world, to condemn the U.S. attacks against Venezuela. Once again, she had spoken on Telesur on a phone call at about 5 in the morning to confirm that, in fact, she did not know the whereabouts of Nicolás Maduro. Now she gave a more formal address to the people of the country and condemn the attacks. And, you know, as you said, she contradicted these statements from from Donald Trump, who seemed to imply that she in some way was cooperating with the Trump administration. She, of course, thanked the world community for their solidarity in response to the attack, and importantly declared and really affirmed that there is one president of Venezuela, and that is Nicolás Maduro. So I think she, you know, right off the bat, did away with those accusations and that attempt by the Trump administration to once again play psychological warfare. And I just want to remind people that since September, one of the main tactics of the Trump administration and its war against Venezuela has been psychological warfare. They were threatening ground invasions. They were threatening air attacks every single day for months. So every single word that they say, we have to know that's in the context of not just bombing campaigns, but also psychological warfare.
No, absolutely. And we forgot to introduce ourselves. That was Zoe Alexandra, editor of People Dispatch. I'm Eugene Puryear from Breakthrough News. And here alongside my intrepid co-host on a weekly basis, Rania Kalik, also of Breakthrough News. Rania, great to be back alongside you. And Zoe, of course, as well. We want to move right in here now to our first guest, who we're very, very honored to have here on the show. And that is Dr. Vijay Prashad, the executive director of the Tricontinental Institute. Vijay, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a strange day today.
It is. It is. And I think, Rania, I don't know, I think you wanted to play a clip for Vijay, I believe, to open and ask a question. So I'll kick it to you.
Hello, Vijay, from what you call the other side of imperialism. As everyone knows, I'm based over here in Lebanon, which has been the subject of a lot of U.S. bombs over the last couple of years. And now I'm watching the U.S. do it to Venezuela. We warned about this. We've talked about this. Now it's happening. They've kidnapped the president of Venezuela. It's quite insane to witness all this insanity. But Trump got even more insane, Vijay. I'm sure you watched the press conference that he gave addressing the nation over what he and his administration just did. And he made some claims about what he planned to do. I want to play that clip, and then I want to ask you some questions about it, Vijay.
We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. So we don't want to be involved with having somebody else get in, and we have the same situation that we had for the last long period of years. So we are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition.
So there you have it. We're going to run the country. But Trump has yet to give any clarity about what that means. The press did a terrible job of asking for clarity about that after him and his administration officials spoke. I mean, I'm just sitting here, Vijay, watching that. You know, you've covered so many U.S. wars, including the occupation of Iraq. If you want to run the Venezuelan government, run a country of 30 million people, you're going to have to put tens of thousands, if not like 100,000 U.S. soldiers on the ground and occupy it, because Venezuela is full of millions of people who are pro-revolution, who are Chavistas, and who certainly won't roll over and just allow Trump or America to run their country or, you know, give them their oil for free. So I'm just curious your thoughts on the idea of the U.S. running the Venezuelan government, as Trump said, and staying. He used the word staying until a safe transition has been reached.
Well, the most important part of that statement is the acknowledgement that the preferred heir, Marie Corina Machado, who was given the Nobel Peace Prize last year, is not ready to take over. I mean, that is a real slap against the Venezuelan opposition. And one of the interesting bits of timing is the Venezuelan National Assembly is to reconvene on the 5th of January. The election was held in May last year. That assembly sits from 2026 to 2031. And the opposition in the assembly is led by veteran opposition politician Henry Capriles. I think there's an understanding that when that opposition comes into the assembly, Capriles dislikes Marie Corina Machado. The opposition once again is going to fray. The United States is not prepared to risk its fortunes on a fractious opposition. So Mr. Trump is saying something that he said, in fact, in criticism of George W. Bush at the time when the United States overthrew the government of Saddam Hussein. What he said was why didn't the United States just go in and take the oil? Why didn't the United States go in and run the country directly and just pay for the occupation with the oil money? I mean, that was his criticism of George W. Bush. People misunderstand that, saying Mr. Trump was against wars. No American president has been against a war. The legal justification, and I use the word legal really very, very ironically, not in a way that's alongside international law, but the U.S. legal justification for all this was set by Barack Obama in 2015 when he signed an executive order on Venezuela. So Mr. Trump is basically just saying, I'd do Venezuela, which Barack Obama has basically said is legal for the United States to come in and do what it wants. I'd do it better than George W. Bush did it in Iraq. Now, you asked a very important question. Does the United States have the internal ability to actually send enough people to go and then colonize Venezuela. I think that's the history has shown us. United States very good at bombing countries. Indeed, very good even at going in and snatching a leader. It's not the first time in Latin America. They did that already with Manuel Noriega in 1989 in Panama. The United States is very good at destroying countries, very bad at governing them. It showed that in Afghanistan, showed that in Iraq. The United States didn't even try in Syria, handed it over to Al-Qaeda, didn't even try in Libya. I doubt very much they'll try in Venezuela. I think these are empty words for Mr. Trump. But I have to be very cautious about saying that, because a lot of things Trump says sound like empty words, and then he goes ahead and does it anyway. So they may try to govern Venezuela, but it'll end up a worse fiasco for them than Iraq.
You know, Vijay, I think you bring up a lot of really important points. And one element is that, yeah, of course, this has happened before in terms of the U.S. going in and snatching presidents, but actually doing direct military strikes on South America is unprecedented. And even in the military buildup that we saw since August, the strikes on boats in the Caribbean, it still seemed like they won't actually do something against, you know, a land strike against Venezuela, but they have. And it is an unprecedented moment. Why Venezuela and why now? And for you, what is next? Does this open the door to more attacks like this?
Well, I mean, if you read Trump's national security strategy, it's really laid out very clearly. Trump basically says there that the rest of the world is going to be hard for the United States to directly control. But the Western Hemisphere, what they call the Western Hemisphere, must be taken in hand. And there Trump directly writes again the Monroe Doctrine of 1823, the doctrine against Bolivarianism. By Bolivarianism, I mean the original Simon Bolivar, you know, the original fellow in the 1810s. The Monroe Doctrine said that the Bolivarian push across Latin America had to be put back in the bottle. And Trump in 2025 says that there's a Trump corollary to the Monroe Doctrine. The Trump corollary is use whatever force you want, whatever means you want, exercise the Monroe Doctrine. It's very interesting you bring up the boats in the Caribbean. You know, I was, for whatever reason, awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, Santiago time, and I was texting with people in Caracas. In fact, somebody live streamed the bombing with me. It was a very surreal moment, I would say. I felt very awkward about seeing that in that way. But at any rate, when I was watching that, the first thing that crossed my mind was my sense that when the United States announced that they had moved their E-18G Growlers, to Puerto Rico. These are electronic jamming aircrafts. When they had moved these aircrafts to Puerto Rico, I read that report in one of the Stars and Stripes magazines, and I thought, well, you know, that's interesting, but I wonder what's going on. Well, look, they have the most sophisticated electronic jamming systems, the ALQ-249. That's the most publicly available one. It's very likely that the United States, whose military power is frequently underestimated, have the capacity to just paralyze all kinds of air defense systems. You know, I always found Seymour Hersh's article about the capture of Osama bin Laden in 2011 to be a little off. I don't really think that the Pakistani military allowed themselves to be so badly humiliated. I think the United States had jamming systems in place. They sent in those two Black Hawk helicopters, grabbed bin Laden and came out. Very similar operation here, by the way, except they did it with a lot more noise, a lot more distracting bombardments in different parts of the country. They knew exactly where Mr. Maduro was. They know exactly where everybody is. For God's sake, people, wake up. The Israelis knew where all mid-level Hezbollah people were, and they blew up their pagers. I mean, their electronic systems should never be underestimated. Imperialism has incredible power to destroy. Beyond that, You know, what they will do, one doesn't know. This is part of their ability to exercise the Monroe Doctrine. They want to destabilize Venezuela. They would like this government to be weakened now. They would like to see some sort of transition. They would like to see this have a knock-on effect, which is that the governments of Nicaragua and Cuba sort of self-immolate without Venezuela in the picture. That's what they'd like to see. Already, you know, there are right-wing governments all across South America, right-wing governments creeping up Central America, including in Honduras, by hook or by crook in Honduras and in the Caribbean. The very fact that the government of Trinidad and Tobago, you know, with a semi-center-right prime minister, then turns out in this last phase to be a complete imperialist, is an extraordinary moment. You know, we are seeing the death of the pink tide, and in this case being killed off, and the birth of the angry tide. You know, imagine what you must feel like to be Jose Antonio Kast in Chile, waiting to be inaugurated, watching the United States do this in Venezuela. You feel like now in Chile, you can do anything. Nayib Bukele in El Salvador is watching this on television, saying, now I can do anything. And there's elections this year in both Brazil and in Colombia. And I'll tell you something. People should not be too comfortable about the fact that Gustavo Petro is the president of Colombia. He cannot run again. You can't by Colombian law. But the next president of Colombia might well be Vicky Davila. And God help the Colombian people. In Brazil, people are feeling like, oh, there's no way that Lula can lose. I don't think you should be so confident that Lula can win. And even if Lula does win, the Senate will be captured by the Bolsonaristas. That means from as low down as the southern cone all the way up to the border of Mexico, you have a fire-breathing right wing in power. And getting rid of Nicolas Maduro in this brutal, brutal, illegal way is just one small way to move a piece on a chessboard. And Mr. Trump exercising the Monroe Doctrine through the Trump corollary is pushing U.S. power in a way we haven't seen, at least not in my lifetime.
No, I think those are extraordinarily important points, Vijay. And I think to talk about the geopolitical nature of it, not simply just an issue over resources, but the use and distribution of resources to help people and how the U.S. does not want that in any context. And, you know, I mean, maybe we can, I mean, they're dressing the whole thing up with the drugs thing, but I would say over the past couple months, they've been pretty open themselves. I want to try to bring up a tweet from Stephen Miller that I think is important. You know, and he says, American sweat, ingenuity, and toil created the oil industry in Venezuela. Its tyrannical expropriation was the largest recorded theft of American wealth and property. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to give him too much airtime. But the reason I wanted to bring this up specifically, Vijay, is because this is the exact same argument that the British made about Mossack Day in Iran, that we built the oil industry in Iran and thus it belongs to us and they have no right to nationalize it. And I guess I just want your thoughts on that, what to me seems amazing, you know, confluence here of colonialist logic.
Well, firstly, it's very important to say that Hugo Chavez's first government did not nationalize the oil. I mean, it's important to say he wins the presidential election in 1998 with a mandate to improve the people's condition of life. They pass a new constitution in 1999, mandating improve the people's life. And then there's a democratic constitution, democratic law passed in 2001, the hydrocarbons law, which says that Venezuela should have more say over the surplus based on the oil extracted. Chevron understands that, you know, they're playing ball and decides to negotiate with the Venezuelan government. ExxonMobil goes nuts about this, you know, and Canadian mining companies, Barrick Gold, led by Peter Munk. Peter Munk writes in the Canadian press saying Hugo Chavez should be overthrown. There's a coup attempt against Chavez in 2002, right after the hydrocarbons law. It's not a, you don't need Stephen Miller around to say these things. Stephen Miller is a moron. This has been a long-standing part of U.S. policy that this oil is U.S. oil. Why should ExxonMobil's oil have been taken? And remember, Trump's first Secretary of State was Rex Tillerson, former CEO of ExxonMobil. And it was actually Rex Tillerson who engineers ExxonMobil's confrontation between Guyana and Venezuela over the Essequibo region. I mean, they've been angry about this for a very long time. They want that oil back. And it's important to tell people who are going to go and say silly things on social media, the United States doesn't need oil. It's an oil exporter. The United States wants to control the oil. The United States wants to control the oil. It's a supremely important resource. And also, they don't want the Bolivarian Revolution to be using the oil to improve the conditions of life for people in the Caribbean through Petrocarib, which for a brief period of time helped the people of Haiti. They don't want the proceeds of the oil to be used to help left-wing movements across Latin America, indeed around the world. Don't forget that it was Hugo Chavez who in 2003 said, we don't want no U.S. imperialism. The first time after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Hugo Chavez joining Fidel Castro in a global campaign against imperialism. Meanwhile, it was in fact about 6-7 years later for us to listen to the Russians and the Chinese say, we don't want a single master in the world. Chavez was saying this 2003, goes to the United Nations and says, I can smell sulfur here after George W. Bush has spoken. Now, it's important to remember that what Stephen Miller tweets, this is our oil, we want it back, has been the basis of U.S. policy from the 2001 hydrocarbon law to the present. Extraordinarily consistent policy that has gone from the administrations of George W. Bush, Barack Obama, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, Vijay says it all. And I think everyone, I really encourage everyone to read his report that he wrote with Taro Azuniga. Also, Vijay, your reports on the Angry Tide. I think we really have to situate ourselves in exactly what you're saying and the fact that the region is changing rapidly and the politics of the region are changing rapidly. And we have to take it seriously.
I just want to make a quick plug for Hyperimperialism, the study done by Tricontinental that I think gives critical background. So go to the Tricontinental Institute for Social Research and check out all that work.
Well, it's so great to be with you guys again. What a day. Nicolas Maduro is my friend. I feel terribly for him. When he was told by Hugo Chavez, you know, Nicolas, you have to take over after I'm dead. Nicolas Maduro started crying and saying, nobody can take over from you. Please don't put this mantle on me. He's an extremely humble man. He enters politics as a union leader of the bus drivers. He himself was a bus driver. Then he goes off and becomes a politician because Chavez found him in the union movement, becomes a foreign minister. He is a reluctant politician, and I feel terribly for him as a person. There is nothing in his character that suggests this kind of treatment of him. And I really want to say that, guys, because I know that lots of people on the left will turn their back on Nicolas Maduro Moro and Celia Flores, and I refuse to do so.
Yes, no, absolutely. And we appreciate everything you bring to the table, Vijay, and everything that you all are doing at Tricon to help give us the appropriate context and also the immediate analysis, as it were. So we will keep the movement moving on. Thank you again. And I think, Zoe, we're going to get ready to go to our next guest here. But one thing I did want to notice, some news that was just given to me that is breaking. I can't fully confirm this, but there is reports coming out of Venezuela that one of the strikes that took place last night may have actually struck a medical supply warehouse. So unclear exactly what's happening there. That report is coming out, but I just want to remind people, it's important to continue to watch the civilian toll. We talked about Panama, of course, and what took place there with Noriega. One of the important factors is there was a significant massacre of Panamanians that took place, but that did not come out until a little bit later. So I think it's very important that even though people are saying, you know, they were strictly against military targets, blah, 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 we continue to follow that. So reports that we will try to confirm as well about the possible striking of a medical supply warehouse in Venezuela by the United States. So we'll keep tracking that. We have Andreina Chavez with us, who is a journalist, Venezuelan journalist on the ground in Caracas. Thank you so much for being back with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let me just ask you, I know you've been out in the streets today in Caracas, capital of Venezuela. What is the scene? What are you picking up there?
So yes, well, first of all, we've been up since 2 a.m. in the morning, everybody, since we heard the explosions, since we were listening to the planes on the sky and just trying to figure out what was happening. And of course, the Venezuelan government finally confirmed that we were indeed being attacked by the United States. And at least 7 points in Caracas were hit by U.S. strikes, between civilian populations to military assets. It wasn't just military complexes like the U.S. is saying. There are actually residential areas that were also hit. For example, in Fuerteduna is not just a military complex, it is also a residential area. And so people there were victims of these U.S. bombings. So yes, we've been up the entire night. Then this morning we went out to near the Miraflores Palace. We were just there listening to people who gathered outside in the streets. They were taking turns, taking the microphone and just talking about what was happening, denouncing that President Maduro was indeed kidnapped by the United States. He was not captured. He was not seized. He was not arrested because he's not a criminal. He's not a drug trafficker like the U.S. has been saying all of these months, with the excuse to try to overthrow Maduro and kill him, or in this case, kidnap him. So people have been taking turns just speaking in the streets, saying that Maduro has been kidnapped, that we need proof of life, that we need Maduro to come back because he is the elected president of Venezuela, that we need his wife, Cecilia Flores, to also return to Venezuela. And of course, people have been saying that this is the moment to show strength, this is the moment to show support with each other, solidarity, to remain calm, but at the same time, to not let our guard down and to stay on the streets, to continue fighting, to continue denouncing by every means necessary that what is happening in Venezuela, it is regime change. What is happening in Venezuela, it is an illegal U.S. bombing against a civilian population, like a sovereign country. And of course, we know that all of this, what's behind this entire military operation, it is what President Trump announced. He wants to take control of the Venezuelan political life. He wants to take control of Venezuela's oil resources. And that is the entire reason why this is happening right now. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about drug trafficking. We know that those are lies. We know that they don't have any kind of credible evidence that Maduro or anybody in the Venezuelan government is involved in any kind of illicit activity. We know that those are not of this that the U.S. is pushing so they can justify this exact situation that we're facing right now, which is the U.S. bombings, which is an imminent, maybe more attacks against Venezuela, maybe a full-fledged invasion, and of course, the unfortunate kidnapping of President Maduro. And right now, what people are doing in the streets is that they are just gathering, getting support from each other. Of course, there's also people who are just trying to get some essentials. You know, people are trying to find water, to find some food, just in case, you know, we don't know what is going to happen exactly the next few days. The country is mostly calm, but people are also aware that you need to, as they said, you need to keep the essentials at home and you need to keep a clear head and you need to not follow for these psychological campaigns because there are a lot of lies right now on social media. There are a lot of lies coming from the U.S. government. They are saying lies that they're negotiating with the rest of the Venezuelan government. That is not true. We just saw Delcy Rodriguez, the vice president of Venezuela. She gave a press conference only a few minutes ago with the entire government, with the entire military force. She was saying the same thing that the government has been saying since this attack began, that we are resistant, we are on the streets. President Maduro continues to be the president of Venezuela, and we are demanding that he is returned to Venezuela. And of course, she is saying that this is the moment that we need to show Latin America, the entire global South needs to come together and show solidarity and fight against it. Because this is not the end. This is not just an individual operation. This is the beginning of U.S. Complete domination against Latin America. This is the beginning of another Monroe Doctrine. This is the beginning of this neoliberal plan that Trump has for Latin America and for the global South. So this is the beginning of a larger scale intervention against all of our people. So this is what is happening right now in Venezuela.
Breakthrough.
We're going to take a quick break here on Breakthrough Radio, but we'll be right back.
Breakthrough.
Welcome back to Breakthrough Radio, the best of breakthrough news brought to you for 1 hour each week. I'm Sean Blackman.
So I want to know, I want to kind of zoom in a little bit on what's happening in the streets, because, you know, when you watch U.S. media, they make it seem as though, oh, people are celebrating. In fact, people have gone on U.S. media who are Venezuelan, who live outside of Venezuela, and maybe sometimes inside, and said, yes, everyone's so happy this happened. Everyone hates Maduro. And of course, you know, Venezuelans have all kinds of different political opinions. But at the same time, inside the country, there is a huge base of people who are revolutionary, who consider themselves Chavistas, and who certainly won't, you know, go down without some sort of fight if it comes down to it. So I'm curious if you can talk a bit about the attitude of people in the streets. I mean, I'm glad to hear there's calm, but are people celebrating? Are people happy the U.S. kidnapped Maduro, or is it a bit more complicated than that?
No, not at all. I mean, even since last night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., when we were listening to all of these bombings and we were receiving all this information, there were no celebrations on the streets. There were just people trying to understand the situation. There was people denouncing the situation, but you never heard any kind of celebration. Venezuela is not a country that is, it doesn't like war. Venezuelans are peaceful people, and beyond that, they do defend sovereignty. Of course, there's always going to be a group of people
I'm going to end that there. Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. And that wraps it up here for WEFT, where we're at, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. Please stay tuned and keep listening for more programming. I believe Radio Theater is up next, but I'm going to play the Rolling Stones' "Gimme Shelter." Have a good night, but please do keep listening to us here on WEFT.
Urbana Radio Theater here on WEFT Champaign. Tonight we begin with a sampler of short sketches from the late great Shockwave Radio Theater in Minneapolis. That's followed by part two of the old